Hello.
I'm Chantel.
I'm Will.
And we have wanted to start a podcast for a while, so we're just jumping in and doing it. It's probably been like a year, right?
Yeah. Maybe even a little bit longer.
Maybe a smidgen longer. We've been talking about it. I'm from Idaho, originally. Well, I moved around a lot, but I lived in Idaho a long time. And Will here is from Michigan.
Yep, I'm from the city originally, and then I was probably 11. We moved to a very rural area in Michigan, but.
And we now live in Nebraska.
And that's after moving a few more times.
Yeah, we've moved a couple times. So, we are married, and we are into true crime, paranormal.
Yeah, I think cryptozoology, which, for those that don't know, is pretty well, I guess, lack of a better term, it's the study or trying to find explanations to animals or beasts that some people might not necessarily believe exist.
Yeah, I didn't know what cryptozoology was till today. I learned.
Yeah.
So, we wanted to do a podcast about people's hometowns. When I listen to other podcasts, I listen to a lot of true crime podcasts. And some of my favorite things are when they do their hometown stories, when they read those. So basically what we wanted to do was we'll start off by telling some of our hometowns. And then we'd like to hear yours and talk about yours. So if you're listening and you have a weird hometown or something that's mysterious from your hometown, let us know. And we could talk about it.
And it doesn't even have to be, well, I guess.
As long as anything, it's weird, we're good.
Yeah, something strange. I mean.
We want to look into weird stuff.
Urban legends.
Yeah.
Obviously the true crime situations where.
Love true crime.
Then you got like the unexplained.
Yeah.
Those weird.
What do you think about aliens? You want to hear about aliens?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
I'm undecided.
If you can't explain what happens, then yes, because
that's true. You could debunk a lot of stories.
Well, I mean, there was one time when we lived in the next town over, and I was sitting in the living room, and I seen a strange light, and I was like, that's moving a little erratic to be an airplane, so I called one of my friends that was working for the police department, and he was like, yeah, I seen it too. I don't know what it is, but it wasn't an airplane. And I was like, well, only in Wyoming.
So when we lived in the next town over, this happened when we were married?
Yeah, when we lived in Torrington.
Okay. Huh. All right. Well, should we start talking about today's
What did you bring up?
So, I was going to talk about Chance Engelbert. And I don't know if it's kind of well known. Like, I could find some stuff on Reddit about it. And then, obviously, stuff from our local place here. He went missing. Well, let me tell you first what I research so that I don't take credit for something that's not mine. Crime Pursuit podcast did a episode. I think they actually did two episodes about this case. The Star Herald, which is the newspaper here in Scottsbluff County. NBC News, the reporter's name is Andrea Cavalier. And Vanished podcast did an episode on Chance as well. I also read the Gearing Police Department news releases, And there are some Facebook groups that try to talk about it, bunch of web sleuths and trying to figure stuff out there. So I researched all of those. So here's what happened. Chance and his wife Bailey are from Moorcroft. Is that how you say it? Moorcroft, Wyoming?
Yeah.
Is it Wyoming? Yeah, it's Wyoming. And they had a baby. His name is Banks. So they were at Bailey's family's home on July 6, 2019. So they were in Gearing, Nebraska. And it was Bailey, Chance, Banks, I believe the grandparents, and then some other random family members. Before they came out here, Chance was laid off from his job and he got a new one as a welder. Interesting. And everything that I read said he was super excited for the opportunity to start this new job. So they came out for the holiday, July 4th. On July 6th, they went golfing with Bailey's family. And the reports kind of vary, but there was some sort of disagreement with the family members that he was golfing with. Did you hear that?
No, I haven't heard a lot about this. I mean, outside of the,
The initial stuff.
well, not even that, like outside of the obvious,
Oh,
you know,
right.
where's Chance or help find Chance, and
Gotcha.
so yeah, I'm kind of coming in. You're giving me all information. I don't.
Okay, so some sort of disagreement happened. It varies. They say maybe someone said something about his new job or his ability to support Bailey. Just, it kind of varies. So at some point, Bailey went to the golf course to get Chance because of this disagreement and brought him back to her grandparents' home in Gearing. So Bailey says that she got the baby out of the car and took him inside because they were just going to go home. I think they were supposed to stay another day or two and they decided they would just go home because of this disagreement. So when she came back outside, Chance was walking away, which she said wasn't weird because he was known to take a walk when he was upset in order to calm down. Which makes sense.
Yeah, it's
Yeah.
understandable.
So I can't remember where this quote came from, but I think it was in the Vanish podcast. Bailey says when he gets mad, he'll walk to cool down. But I didn't think he'd go far. He just kept walking until I couldn't see him. I didn't think he was serious. When she last spoke to Chance around 7:46 p.m., she says he told her he was walking south, but he had also contacted friends and said he was walking north towards Torrington, Wyoming. So I was researching a little bit today, and apparently Bailey says he told her he was walking towards Kimball, Nebraska. Now, is that south from Scotts Bluff? It would be like southeast or southwest.
No, it'd be directly south.
Directly south to
Because
Kimball.
what out of that whole that whole exchange though, no matter how far north you go out of Gearing, you're not gonna hit Torrington at all.
No, you'd hit like
You'd have
Alliance
to go
or.
west.
Yeah.
You wouldn't even hit Alliance. If you're in Gearing, you're gonna go and you go directly north, you're gonna be heading towards Chattarin.
Oh, yeah.
So
So, like
physically, there's
a bunch
no.
of nowhere.
Yeah, I mean,
Bunch of nowhere. Okay. So, now, at some point, Chance called his friend Matt. And asked for a ride home. And he told Matt he was walking towards Torrington. So that would be west.
right.
Okay. Which,
I mean,
if you
it's it.
follow on the map, it is west because he goes through Tarrytown.
Right.
And you see it on those cameras.
And that's the thing. It's To go from Gehring is 100% possible, regardless of whether you cut across fields.
To get to Torrington?
Right.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you could walk there.
It's more of the... There's a lot of ways to go, and a lot of ways to...
And a lot of nowhere.
Possibly get turned around, mm-hmm. is the thing. Especially with them not originally being... Well, if her family's here, she might have had experience here.
I believe she's from Gehring.
Oh, okay.
I might be, like, super off on that.
Yeah, I don't know, but...
So, here's the thing. He calls Matt. He asks for a ride. He says he's walking towards Torrington. Matt was, I believe, at a gathering of some sorts where he was drinking. So, he couldn't come get him. So, he called Chance's mom. And, apparently there was some sort of disconnect between Chance's parents and Chance's wife. There's a lot of rumors about what it could be, but basically the mom said, hey, I'm not sure that I'm the one that should be going to get him or calling him. So she reached out to his uncle and asked him to reach out to Chance, because apparently the relationship was okay there.
So they had just, it was...
So they were trying to...
Falling out between him and the parents.
Well, I don't know. I think he was just caught in the middle. I think the falling out was between the wife and the parents.
Oh.
And he was just caught in the middle. You know, he has his wife and his son and then his parents. And I think they didn't get along.
Well, it sounds like he's catching it on both ends from that.
So, anyways, they were trying to take care of it.
Yeah.
So in the meantime, well, actually, let's go back to this. So then I guess he was really close to his aunt. Now, today I was trying to find out if his aunt and his uncle that they're talking about were, like, married, or if they were two separate entities.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't figure it out. But apparently Chance sent his aunt a super weird random message, like a text message. And apparently they were pretty close, so it wasn't weird that he might text her, but it was, from what I understand, just words that didn't make sense. But, you can't find what the text message says. I looked everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know who gets it deleted off Facebook or whatever, but I couldn't find it. So, anyways, there's all this communication, then all of a sudden it just stops about 9 p.m. His cell phone was pinged at a truck stop, that WTT truck stop on the corner of Beltline and Avenue I.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. So his cell phone pings about there. And there's that road that's across from it, Owl Road.
Yeah, that two-track looking walking path or whatever.
Well, it goes to a house, a private residence. And so people can't go down there because it's trespassing. So, but he could have walked down there, maybe, is the thing. So, anyways, that's the last time his phone pings. Also, about 9 p.m., bad storm. Now, it's July, so it's not, like, freezing. But, I don't know if you remember the storm. I remember the storm.
I don't.
Well,
that's the thing, too. Out here, a lot of people might not understand that during the day here, it's hot as hell in the summer.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, late at night,
it could get chilly.
It gets chilly. And if you're cold, you're already wet,
mm-hmm.
You're going to get real cold.
He could have. I don't know that he would have got cold enough for, like, hypothermia, though.
Well, what did...
He might have got cold enough to...
Yeah, but don't they say hypothermia kicks in at, like, 50 degrees?
I'm not sure.
I think it's, like, 50-degree water temperature.
Let me look it up real fast.
Anyways.
So, while he looks that up, I will... Let's see. I lost my place here. So... all of these things that we've talked about so far are things that we know. Okay? You got that? Degrees?
Almost.
Okay. Because we're going to change gears here a little bit.
Your body temperature can drop to a low level at temperatures of 50 degrees.
I mean, that makes sense, because that's almost half what your normal body temperature is.
Yeah. Well, let's see. Hypothermia table.
Oh, shoot.
Yeah, it looks about 50 degrees, but...
Like, real bad hypothermia? Because
this is basically breaking down, like, at what temperature you can get away with a wetsuit, a dry suit, with polypro layers and stuff like that. So between 50 and 60 degrees, they recommend that you have a dry suit with the polypro layers and neoprene booties and a hat. So, I mean, at that temperature, it's probably a good idea.
So it could even be, like, if he just had on normal clothes, it could be 65 or 70 degrees.
Yeah.
Okay. So... I mean, it was probably... He could have easily been that cold.
Yeah.
Well, and when hypothermia sets in, you get all confused.
Right.
Your brain doesn't work quite right, so that...
Could explain...
That could be a thing.
Bizarre text messages.
Yes. So, here's something else weird that happened. So, anyways, he's just never seen again. Bailey goes home, goes to bed at, like, 11. She thought he'd just come back in. So, then the next day, they go to the police because he never came home. So, she wakes up. They go look a little bit on the path they thought he might have been walking. They can't find him. They go to the police. So, when they get to the police station, Bailey asks the detective about a death certificate. Now, Bailey's young, and she might just not know.
Mm-hmm.
But it was, I mean, he'd been gone like 24 hours at this point, and she's asking for a death certificate.
Yeah, that's...
So that's a little bit weird. So the cops get involved, they start searching, somewhere I wrote down everyone who was searching, it was a lot. It was like, Airlink was out, that's the Flight for Life, the Nebraska State Patrol, shoot, let me see if I can find it.
See, I would think
I mean, there was a lot of people.
Scott's Bluff. Time, there was probably close to, not excluding law enforcement, but there probably was at least 1,000 people.
You think? That many?
Over the course of the entire search party.
Oh, over the course of all of them.
Yeah.
Because there's been several search parties. Because his friend Matt organized some. Even after the PD kind of said we can't be searching anymore, Matt went out a couple of times. I think there's at least 3 or 4 that I know of, and organized his own search parties looking for him.
Yeah.
So, anyways, the Scotts Bluff Fire Department, the Scotts Bluff Police Department, the Gearing Police Department, Airlink, State Patrol. They've had canine dogs out there. I don't think they were cadaver dogs. I think they were, like, tracking dogs.
Well, I don't know.
But either way, they've had the dogs out there. So then Bailey asked about life insurance. And... Then she was quoted saying, "I think whatever happened is really bad. People just don't vanish. Something happened to him. Not to be cliche, but it's pretty gut-wrenching. And it's hard to stay hopeful." So, then she stated that she believes he'll be coming home in a body bag. Which, again, she's young. And we can't say how we might react in a bad situation. But it's a weird thing to say.
Yeah.
you know. So then, a little while later, a phone was found on Chance and Bailey's porch at their home in Moorcroft. And so it was found by a coworker of Chance's that went to his house to see if he was there after he heard he was missing. So it was within a couple days, this guy heard he was missing, went to his house, found a phone. So, he calls Matt, and Matt says, well, I'm going to come get it, but he calls Bailey on his way there. And she says, no, don't worry about it. I have this other guy going to pick it up. Someone's already told me I have this other guy going to pick it up. And this guy's name is Larry. So he goes and picks up the phone and then goes to Deadwood, South Dakota for the weekend with the phone. And then comes back a couple days later, or maybe it was the next day, I can't remember. And then he does turn it into police, but he's had it for 24 to 48 hours, where it's unaccounted for, basically.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's got it, he says, but... So then they just say it's the phone of a homeless man. But the weird part is, the phone is frozen, like the time and everything is frozen, on July 6th, which is the day he went missing. So, it could be that someone set that up and left it there. You know, weird stuff happens. People are mean. People want to be a part of it.
Yeah, and it seems like that's a pretty... I'm not saying that's the situation at all. That somebody just planted it there to screw with them. But, it, you know, people...
It's feasible.
Yeah, it's definitely an option.
People want to be a part of something big like this, so they'll insert themselves however they can.
Yeah.
So, it could be something, it could be nothing. It's hard to know. But it's weird.
Yeah.
And mysterious. So then, basically, the police department say, you know, it appears that he's walked away of his own accord. He was caught on some security cameras, in Gearing, walking, and it appears he walked away of his own accord. They can't prove foul play of any variety, so basically, it's an unsolved case.
And I heard about that part, the security cameras, but my thing is, if they're, it's, you and I have both seen security camera footage.
Yeah.
And depending on the amount of money the owners of those cameras put into them,
it could be anything.
It could have been him. It could have been Saddam Hussein crawling out of that spider hole.
Well, I've seen some of the footage, and I don't know Chance, but it looks pretty clear to be the fellow that left in that same clothes. So, so basically, that's where we're at. So, let me get back to where I was at. So all that stuff is stuff we know. Those are all things that have been proven, have been verified, whatever. So here's some things that we don't know, but that are pretty strong in the community that's trying to figure this out. Bailey, the wife, has family in law enforcement. So the theory is that this has hindered the investigation because there's also a theory that Bailey has family members that will not allow searches on their property. Now, from my understanding, there was family members that had a big, like, cement pad poured a couple of days after he goes missing. Now, I saw a quote from the guy who did the cement pouring, and he said it was scheduled before all this happened. So, that it could be nothing. But again, it's weird that they won't let them search.
Yeah.
I mean, I get not wanting to rip up your brand new cement pad, because then you're going to pour it again.
But that's the thing, you don't have to. So, I want to say it was California, but I remember there was an incident there where, I thought it was a woman and her son bought a house, and something happened in the garage, and they couldn't figure out, and, they ended up investigating the garage, and somebody came over to see about the floor. And when they, what they did was they ran an x-ray machine over top of the floor and found that there was a void underneath the floor. So when they...
Like a hole?
Yeah. So did is they popped a hole to see what was down there. And they found that the person that had lived there before killed their spouse and buried their spouse underneath the garage floor.
Oh.
And then...
So it's like a... Like it's an just, x-ray.
It's... That more goes through of like the cement to a see sonar that? Or a, what is it they do for ultrasound or something like that.
Oh, okay.
Because they did the same thing at, I thought it was Ford Field, looking for Jimmy Hoffa's body years ago.
Okay. So, now that you're talking about that, it sounds vaguely familiar, like maybe they tried that. I don't know. I mean, I don't know that Gearing PD has that capability.
No, probably.
But if they reached out to somewhere bigger and were able to get some help from another agency, then they probably could do it. I'm not sure if that ever got done for sure. So,
well, the other thing too, though, is as far as pouring concrete goes, you have to, the area that you're going to pour, they come through and they pack that. They take a giant...
I wonder if they can hear the train.
More than likely.
We live right by the train.
But in order to pour it to where it doesn't settle after you pour it, they come through with a giant pneumatic hammer, for lack of a better term, and they tamp the ground and it compresses everything for that area.
Right. So here's part of the weird thing. The guy who poured the cement said he showed up and it was prepped already. Like, the area was prepped. He just had to pour it. Now, I'm unsure if they set that up beforehand, you know, or if he expected to prep it and showed up and didn't have to.
Yeah.
It's just kind of a weird thing.
Yeah, because there a lot of steps that need to be taken for it to be poured, just not even to get the job done, but to get it done to where it's gonna last.
Right.
So,
and I mean, I don't know the family members' names, I don't know anything about it, I just know that that's been part of the rumor. So, also, so Matt set up those searches, like I said. So he had, like, there were several instances where it seemed like someone was trying to sabotage his searches. So they were searching on horseback, and they had this barn set up to, like, keep their stuff. And it caught on fire right before one of their searches. And so they had to, like, scramble and go somewhere else. And then there was some people helping with the search, and their dogs were poisoned. That's kind of weird, right? So, here's another theory. This is kind of weird. And I don't think this is it. I'd be really surprised if this is it. But it's a theory that's out there. Chance went to that WTT, where his phone last pinged, and he got in a truck and is riding around with a trucker.
gotta live that lizard lifestyle.
I guess so. So,
what is it they say? Ass, gas, or grass?
Ass, gas, or grass.
Nobody rides for free?
Well, apparently, I did read he had a wallet with money. So, maybe cash? Anyways.
Anything's possible.
So, another kind of weird thing that could be just huge coincidence is Bailey's sister's boyfriend. Okay? Is a truck driver, and he had a load that was going to New Mexico or Texas. I've heard both.
Well, depending on where in each state, they're relatively close. So.
Right. So, one of the theories is that something happened to Chance. They loaded him up in the semi, in the back or the bed, I don't know. And he's not even in the area.
Well, no, the likelihood is that he isn't. I mean,
I kind of feel like, I mean, they've done some pretty extensive searches. But if it was raining that bad, there was some flooding. Do you remember? Like flash flooding.
Yeah.
And, I mean, a lot of stuff can happen with a flash flood.
That
he could be buried.
Well, too, there's also the...
Or it could be 20 miles down the river. Because,
well, especially,
you know,
out in that area where that truck stop is, it wouldn't take you long to get out towards the monument, which, for those that don't know, is a pretty... It's not a big mountain, but it's a decent size.
Well, it's a bluff. Like a...
well, whatever it is. I mean...
Cliff?
There's...
I don't know.
Plenty of predatorial wildlife out there that...
Oh, yeah.
And I'm sure they know good places to stash their prey.
Well, and... So the other thing, though, is that Chance was a cowboy. He rodeoed, and he hunted. He was an outdoorsman. So if... it got bad weather, he would know what to do. But if he's that upset, he might not be thinking clearly. You know?
Yeah.
So, because right over there, I mean, there's tons of trees, but I'm sure there was lightning, so tree might not have been his best shelter. It's just hard to know. So, Dawn Engelbert is Chance's mom, and she was quoted saying that there was foul play and someone knows where he is. She said, "You just don't vanish like that. There has to be foul play. I just want answers. I'm running out of steam and hope." And that was like a year ago. So imagine now. Gearing PD released a press release that says, "One of the most common questions that has been asked of our investigators is why has this investigation not been deemed a homicide? What we know at this point is that Chance was walking in Gearing and Tarrytown of his own free will. Because there's no evidence of a crime being committed, the investigation remains in its original classification as a missing person."
Which makes sense.
Right.
But we got to get to the real heart of the matter. Aliens.
You think?
It's possible.
Did they create the storm as a cover to bring their spaceship here and take Chance?
It's pretty likely.
You think so?
Yeah.
I mean, that is the one rumor I didn't cover.
Just be prepared.
So, here's the thing about Chance. He was last seen wearing a short-sleeve button-up Wrangler shirt, dark blue Wrangler jeans, Roper-style boots, and a black and white trucker hat. Chance is 5 feet 9 inches tall, medium build, and has a sun-lightened brown hair. There was a $10,000 reward. I'm sure there still is. I mean, no one's been able to claim it.
No, but I know people have tried.
Have they?
Well, the psychic.
Oh, yeah. There was a psychic that said he was by water. That was her big thing. Which, you know...
When it rains out here,
I was
there's
gonna
water
say,
everywhere.
She had like an 80% chance of being right on that one.
Yeah.
And so if you have any information about Chance, if you happen to be listening and have any information, you can call the Scottsbluff Police Department or the Gearing Police Department. Scottsbluff, Nebraska or Gearing, Nebraska.
And if I'm correct, you posted a picture of what he looked like. And
yeah, I did on our,
yeah, on Facebook.
Our Facebook.
Yeah.
So you can find us. Maybe this is a good segue.
I don't.
To wrap it up. You can find us on Facebook.
What's our
Hometown Mystery.
Do you know the actual web address, though?
Just look up Hometown Mystery. I'll get the web address for next time.
But there's a lot to, especially this, that, like I said, until he's found in whatever fashion he's found, there are going to be, and I truly think even afterwards, so many questions that are not going to be answered. And to go back to the phone thing, I don't know the logistics of locking it or getting a phone frozen on a certain time, but
if I remember correctly, it was an iPhone. But I mean,
what did it, I guess I don't understand. Like, what do they mean by frozen? Was
just
it just
the date
blocked or
the date and time on the front?
It was.
I saw a picture of it a while back. On Facebook, someone had took a picture of it. At the top where it says the date and time, I don't remember what the time said, but the date definitely said July 6th. And it was found on, like, the 9th or something.
Well, that, I mean, you can go through and reset the clock and the time, but
right, yeah, just manually do it instead of.
There are a lot of people out there, and it's unfortunate to say, they're going to take advantage of situations, either just to get a laugh to themselves.
Or 5 seconds of fame.
Monetary rewards and stuff. And that.
So you don't think the phone, you think someone's messing with them?
I think it's very possible. The, from Scottsbluff to Moorcroft or wherever it was, that's a little over 3.5 hours.
Yeah, it was about it's like 200 miles.
Yeah, it's like 300 or 3 hours and 30 some minutes,
yeah,
depending on how fast you drive. But is it possible he went there? Yeah, I mean, without a doubt. But
it wasn't his phone.
And that's what doesn't
make
sense.
That's the thing.
Because you can go anywhere and pick up a burner phone.
Right.
I mean,
but here's the
gas
thing.
Stations and truck stops sell them.
If I'm picking up a burner phone, I'm not buying an iPhone.
You
know what I'm saying? That's a lot of money.
Yeah, but you can pick them up cheap on Facebook and stuff.
That's true.
I mean, there's no.
But then they would have been able to track it to someone.
Not if there's no SIM card.
Well, the IMEI or whatever number.
Yeah, but if it's bricked up, you're not going to get into it. You'd have to have Apple go through and.
Well, and they don't do that.
No, because remember, what was it? After 9/11, wasn't it? Where I thought it was Department of Homeland Security tried suing Apple to get them to
unlock a phone?
Yeah.
I can't remember the. I remember you talking about
it.
But
was
I don't
something.
Remember the
circumstances. I can't. But. Yeah, Apple's pretty tight-lipped about their security stuff. And I know, too, for a fact that if you have an iPhone, or say somebody took your iPhone, put in the wrong code numerous times, it's going to block it anyways. They're useless.
Right, but it doesn't freeze the time.
No, but that's the thing. If you go through and set it yourself, you know. But they're It really is unfortunate, though, because, you know, you see the pictures of him, and he seemed happy.
Mm-hmm. And everybody says he was a real good guy. So.
There was something weird to it, but like I said, until you find him in some manner, whether it's alive or passed away, you know, you're not going to get any answers, let alone all the answers you're expecting. I mean, a few years back, they found a guy's body up in Rawlins. His body was in the culver, and nobody knew who he was. They ended up finding out he had started walking from Texas.
Oh, geez.
And he made it all the way to Rawlins, Wyoming, and crawled in the culver to stay warm overnight, and passed away from exposure.
Right.
But from the time that he passed away to the time they found him was like 6 months.
Oh, geez. All right. Well, that's our story for today.
Should we talk about what we're working on for the next one?
I don't know. That's all you.
So, without going into too much detail, I've been looking at, because like we said earlier, we're looking at really any mysterious or strange occurrence type thing. And the one I'm going to talk about has to do more with possible paranormal activity, but it's the result of one of the, if not the most heinous school attack in the U.S. history. But, and I'm going to try and get into some details as far as the person that, I guess for lack of a better term, perpetrated it and what little reasoning they had behind it. But we're going to try and talk a little bit more about the Bath Township school bombing in Bath, Michigan.
Now, is it Bath, like B-A-T-H?
Yep.
Oh, okay.
So.
All right. Well, we'll put that out next week.
Yep.
Okay. Thanks for hanging out with us and indulging our podcast desires.
Yeah, and please leave feedback if you could so we know what we need to work on.
Yep, you can find...
Please leave feedback as far as things that you might have experienced in your towns or if you know somebody that has had a weird story or occurrence. Have them share and give it a listen.
Yeah, well, so we're on Apple and Spotify and Google Podcasts. You can listen to us a lot of different places. You can find us on Facebook, Hometown Mystery. Instagram, at Hometown Mystery.
What's Instagram?
We'll talk about that later. It's a mystery. Or you can email us at hometownmystery@gmail.com. And that's all we've got.
Well.
Till next week.
Until next week. Don't let the aliens get you.